So if you've heard of Jesus, you probably know about one of his famous teachings called the Golden Rule. Do to others what you would want them to do to you. And this, actually, is a restatement of something else that Jesus said, that the meaning of life is to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, that's really beautiful, but what does he mean exactly by the word love? It's an unclear word in English, because you can love your mom, and you can love pizza. And if the word love means the same thing in both of those cases, your mom's going to feel real bad. So what did Jesus mean in his language? Well, first of all, this love your neighbor phrase is a quotation from the Hebrew scriptures, where the word for love is ahava. However, the language Jesus spoke and taught in from day to day was a cousin language of Hebrew, that is Aramaic, in which the word for love is rahmah. But then, as Jesus' followers spread his teachings around the world, they translated them into Greek, using the word agape. But here's what's fascinating. The earliest followers of Jesus, who wrote the books of the New Testament in Greek, they didn't learn the meaning of agape by looking it up in ancient dictionaries. Rather, they looked to the teachings of Jesus and the story of his life to redefine their very concept of love. So one time, Jesus was asked about the most important command in the Jewish scriptures. And he first quoted from the ancient prayer in the Torah called the Shema. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart. So love for God is the most important thing. But then Jesus quickly followed up by saying another command from the Torah was also the most important, to love your neighbor as yourself. So which is the most important, loving God or loving your neighbor? Jesus' answer is yes. To ask the question means you don't get his point. For Jesus, they are two sides of the same coin. Your love for God will be expressed by your love for people, and vice versa, they're inseparable. So this makes it clear that for Jesus, agape love is not primarily a feeling for someone else that happens to you, like our phrase, I fell in love. For Jesus, love is action. It's a choice that you make to seek the well-being of people other than yourself. Jesus also went on to teach that genuine love for God and others means seeking people's well-being without expecting anything in return, especially from people who are in difficult situations who can't repay you even if they wanted to. According to Jesus, this kind of generous love reflects the very heartbeat of God. And he took this even further. Jesus said that the ultimate standard of authentic love is how well you treat the person that you can't stand. Or in his words, you shall love your enemy and do good to them, expecting nothing in return. For Jesus, this kind of enemy-embracing love imitates the very character of God himself. Now, we wouldn't be talking about Jesus still today if he had only said things like, love your enemy. This is how he actually lived. Jesus was constantly helping and serving people around him in very practical and tangible ways. And he consistently moved towards poor and hurting people who couldn't benefit him in return. He showed love for the forgotten ones, the people who usually fall through the cracks. And when Jesus eventually marched into Jerusalem, he made himself an enemy of the leaders of his people by accusing them of hypocrisy and corruption. But then instead of attacking his enemies to overthrow them, he allowed them to kill him. Jesus died for the selfishness and corruption of his enemies because he loved them. After Easter morning, Jesus and then his followers claimed that it was the power of God's love for the world that was revealed in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. As the Apostle Paul put it, God demonstrated his own agape for us in this, while we were still sinners, the Messiah died for us. Or in the words of the Apostle John, God's own agape was revealed when he sent his one and only Son into the world, so that through him, we could have life. And for John, then, this leads naturally to the conclusion, beloved ones, if that's how God has loved us, then we ought to show love for one another. So Christian faith involves trusting that at the center of the universe is a being overflowing with love for his world, which means that the purpose of human existence is to receive this love that has come to us in Jesus, and then to give it back out to others, creating an ecosystem of others-focused, self-giving love. And that's the New Testament meaning of agape love.
Excellent. So if you have your Bible and you want to use it tonight, which I encourage you to do, you can open up to 1 John chapter 4. We're going to be talking a lot about some verses in there. There's a song that I was taught when I was a little girl on these verses, and I'm going to sing it for you real quick just because I love it, and it stuck with me, so I want to share it with you. It goes like this. teach them scriptures through song because that will stick with you. It's awesome the way music does that. But we're going to read that verse again just because that was in the King James Version and we don't do that anymore. Caught up with people around you because God loves them. Right? Sometimes you agree to be a godparent before a child is even born. Your best friend's pregnant with somebody and you're like, oh my goodness, would you be willing, and it's a big deal, but would you be willing to be my daughter or my son's godparent? You're like, yes, of course I would, because I love you so much. You don't even know what that kid's gonna be like. John chapter 4. chapter 12, verses 29 and 31, which we just looked at, so you don't have to flip there. These are the verses where Jesus said the first greatest command is to love God, and the second, equally important one, is to love your neighbor as yourself. It talks about loving your neighbor. It talks about this agape love for your neighbor. And if you look at literally translated, it's talking about the person who is near to you. There's this idea of starting where you're at, starting with the people that are right next to you. So I want to challenge you. A lot of you are experts at loving people. So I certainly don't want to insult you by imagining that you would start today. But if you would look around this room right now, around people around you, to your right, to your left, in front of you, behind you, these are your neighbors. These are the people near you. Sometimes we think that we have to start by loving people that are hard to love, that don't know Jesus yet. But the Bible actually talks a lot about loving your brothers and sisters in Jesus. It talks a lot about us loving each other and letting it grow from there. As he says, let your love for one another grow and overflow. Your love for one another and for all people. The Bible talks a lot in a lot of different places about starting with your brothers and sisters and working your way out. I want to share with you just a little bit about myself. When I was a kid, I used to go to this church program that had this lady who was a very, very simple, meek woman. And she was pretty unassuming in the way that she carried herself and spoke with people. But there was one thing that she did really, really well, and that was tell stories. So she would get these big, giant cardboard boxes that had pictures printed on them, and she would hold them up, and for each picture, she would tell, 2 to 5 minutes of a story. And she would always do these series of stories on missionaries. I was a little kid at the time, and these stories blew my mind. They blow my mind until today. That didn't have to do with me being a child. They're amazing stories. But I was so captivated by this idea that there were these people who caught on to this concept that there are people out there in the world that have never heard about Jesus, that won't get a chance to know how much God loves them unless somebody goes to tell them. And so they decided, and at this time, missionaries were not flying on planes to come back and forth every now and again to spend, Thanksgiving with their, aunts and uncles and go to their nephew's graduation. No, you pack your things. Sometimes you pack your things in your casket, and you just go. It's a statement. I'm giving my life. I'm going to spend my life doing this thing over there. I love these stories. They totally inspire me. And I grew up knowing that I wanted to be a missionary and just being absolutely amazed by their extraordinary love. And I kind of came to think that you have to go somewhere far away to do something like that, to have extraordinary love. And I went to Bible college to be a missionary. And while I was there, I started interning at this church. And I did not want to Yeah.